It's been a blessing to have Brother Bryant with us today. Yesterday, I enjoyed hearing many, many bus stories from the 70s. And he would preface the stories by saying, now, in the 70s, you could do this, but you can't do this today. And then you get into the story, I thought, oh, my, yeah, you couldn't do that today, for sure. So I have thoroughly enjoyed Brother Bryant. And this morning was a tremendous blessing to my heart as well. I know you're excited to hear him preach, and so we're going to get him up to the pulpit. If I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then as I pray, if the special could come up, and then after the special, Brother Bryant, just make yourself feel right at home, okay? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, that your spirit has been felt in the service. And God, I thank you for the songs that uplift us and encourage us, and the choir special. Lord, what a blessing that was. Lord, now we come to the most important part of the service, your preaching, of the preaching of your word. God, I pray that you come and visit with us tonight, stir our hearts. I pray that you be with Brother Bryant as he preaches. Give him wisdom, Lord. Bless the special. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Searching for a love that was real. Then I heard about Jesus, and he saved my soul. Now I have to say how I feel. I'm saved like a drowning man pulled from the sea. Saved like a prisoner from captivity. Saved like an outcast with a new family. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. I am saved by the blood of the Lamb. Now I'm a child with an heir to the throne, with a father who owns everything. My sin debt is settled, and heaven's my home. Redeemed, my soul now can sing.
I'm saved like a drowning man pulled from the sea. Saved like a prisoner from captivity. Saved like an outcast with a new family. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. I am saved like a drowning man pulled from the sea. Saved like a prisoner from captivity. Saved like an outcast with a new family. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. I am saved by the blood of the Lamb. Life now is freed and my joy is complete, for I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. I am saved, saved, saved.
Awesome, wasn't it? But that make a Methodist shout there, amen. That was good. I tell you what, aren't you glad you're in the house of God tonight? Amen. How many are glad you're saved? Amen. How many are glad you're saved? Amen. Boy, I tell you what, I just thank God. Thank God that He saved me, put me in a fundamental, independent Baptist church. Amen. Tonight. And boy, I'm just glad to be here tonight. And at term 54, getting older, I'm just glad to be anywhere. Amen. And it's a joy. We had a good service this morning. Boy, I tell you, I had a lot of folks come to me afterwards and just pour their heart out, and God just did some things this morning in people's lives, and what a blessing. Amen. It's a joy to be here. I sure love your preacher. Love your preacher. Thank God for it. And a man was talking to me a while ago about how his daddy, his preacher came by and led his dad to the Lord. You'll probably know his dad was a Christian Science. And where's he at? Where's the guy at that was talking to me about? Right here, yes, sir. And his preacher went by and led his dad to the Lord. And, buddy, I'll tell you, thank God for a preacher that'll go soul winning. Amen. And win somebody to the Lord. And thank God for that. I love you, preacher. Is that a cell phone? I hear a cell phone. Whose cell phone is it? You owe me a pizza. Amen. That's the rule. Amen. You owe me a pizza. I'll take everything on it. Amen. Everything but the kitchen sink. Amen. I want on it. Amen. And I tell you, I love old fashioned preaching. I love old fashioned singing. Amen. Buddy, I'll tell you, churches are changing right and left today. I've had to council meetings with churches because of they've changed on their standards and things. And I've had to council some meetings on them because, you know, buddy, I'm just getting too old to change. I ain't going to change it. And, you know, this old book still works right here. Can I have amen? The old shotgun still works. When I was a boy, I had an old 20-gauge shotgun, single-gauge shotgun. And I used to go squirrel hunt with that thing. Buddy, that thing, you could aim around a squirrel and blow him out of the tree. You didn't even have to aim at him. Amen. That thing, buddy, that thing would blow him out of the tree. One year at Christmas time, my dad and them bought me a brand new 22 rifle, but single shot rifle. That thing was the prettiest rifle I believe I ever seen. That thing was pretty. And so I took that thing, went squirrel hunting with it. And they gave me a box of 500 shells, 22 shell bullets. And I went out there and I spotted a squirrel up in a tree, and that thing was just chattering at me, you know. And I said, I'm gonna knock you out of there. And I put that bullet in there, buddy, and I aimed at him. And all of a sudden, first time I ever shot that thing went pew like that. And I thought, man, this is a wimpy gun. Amen. Wimpy gun. And I'm not kidding, after half a box of those shells and that squirrel still running around the tree, I said, you know what? I'm tired of this thing. Amen. I got something to take care of you. And I went back and got that old 20-gauge shotgun, buddy. And I came back and that scutter was laughing at me. But, buddy, when I laid in on him, he didn't laugh anymore. Amen. I blowed fur everywhere. Amen. Load fur everywhere. You know what? The old shotgun still works. Amen. These NIVs, new versions, may look pretty, but they don't hit the devil like this old book will right here. Amen. It'll blow the fur out of him. Amen. Amen. And I thank God. I thank God for a church like this still believes in the old King James Bible. Stands there. I go back in the 70s. My pastor was Dr. Curtis Hudson. I love Dr. Hutch, and he taught me everything about soul winning. I love soul winning. I love to see people saved. Counting today, when I led Lord, 11 people this week led to Christ personally, and I've been doing it for 37 years. I still believe it works. Can I have amen? Soul winning still works. And I had the privilege of being around men like that. And B.R. Lakin, I had the privilege of being around Dr. Lakin, John R. Rice, Dr. Hiles, Lester Roloff. Lester Roloff was hilarious. I mean, he was so fun to be around. And men like that had the privilege of being around. There's something special about those men. And, buddy, I'll tell you, we sure need that generation back again. And Carl Hatch, Brother Hatch, I privilege to go and soul winning with Brother Hatch at Forest Hills. He used to come to Forest Hills. Dr. Hudson was there. And we used to, I remember he and I and about four other guys in one day's time won over 1,000 people to Christ. He was the boldest soul winner I ever seen in my life. And I remember one time, you'll have to excuse me, I'm reminiscing a little bit. Amen. You'll have to excuse me. I'm 54 now, and I just turned my birthdays yesterday, so I'm going to reminisce. Amen. And I was sitting there thinking about these great men. I remember Brother Hatch. After he had his accident years later, he had a bad car wreck, and I remember him coming and to our church there in Florida. I was assistant pastor, and he came down there, and Brother Hatch took him to a restaurant there. And it was a kind of fancy restaurant. Pastor asked me to take him there. And, buddy, that was some of the best food. He said, I hadn't eaten food like that since before my accident. And, as a matter of fact, he asked me to bring him back the next day. But it was a fancy restaurant. And Brother Hatch, he said, let me pray. And all of a sudden, Brother Hatch took off praying in that nice, fancy restaurant. And, buddy, I mean, he said, now, dear God, he said, I thank you for the food that you have bestowed upon me. He said, God, I want to thank you so much for saving my wretched soul. He said, God, I know that there was a day that he said I was lost and somebody showed me Romans 3:23. He said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he said, the Bible says in Romans 3:10, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Amen. And then he took off on went to Romans 5:8. Then he went to Romans 6:23. Then he went to Revelation chapter 15, verse 20. Romans 6:23 and Romans 5:8. Then he went right down the Romans road and prayed Romans 10:13. And he said, now, Lord, I'm so glad that day that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God, I believe that maybe there might be somebody in this restaurant that needs that right now. Now, he said, I'm going to pray a prayer. And if anybody in this restaurant would like to pray this prayer with me, just pray it right now. And he took off and prayed the sinner's prayer. And when he got done, he said, did anybody in here pray that prayer? And all of a sudden, I saw hands going up all over the restaurant. Amen. And old Brother Hatch got up. He couldn't hardly walk. His accident handicapped him some, and he walked over and took people and wept and cried with them, and because they got saved, amen. I'm gonna tell you, buddy, I wouldn't trade that for all the money in the world, amen. That what I learned from these great men and great people soul winning, and what a blessing, what a blessing. So. I hope tonight, I pray that some of that would rub off on me. I would pray that God, would you somehow put some of those packages in this preacher. And the rest of my life, I want to try to help people, amen, and get folks saved and win people to Christ and get people saved. I tell you, you never know what's going to happen when I preach, I tell you. So many crazy things happen. I think about a church I was preaching at in North Carolina, Rockwell, North Carolina. This is years ago, right after my wife and I got married. And right before I went to preach at his church, it was just a few minutes from my home where I lived there in Salisbury. My mom fed me a big old meal that night. Buddy, I didn't know you wasn't supposed to eat a big meal before you preach. Amen. And so my mom, boy, she made some homemade biscuits and collard green. By the way, they wasn't canned biscuits, amen. They were homemade biscuits. Homemade biscuits. Canned biscuits ain't worth a flip, amen. I mean, you know, them things, buddy. I like the homemade biscuits. And my mom made, had collard greens and fried chicken that night and stuff. And I ate a big old meal. That night, my wife and I went over to that church, and I was preaching during the service. Matter of fact, I just preached a meeting there a couple months ago. But this has been years ago this happened. And I went to, I was preaching, and right in the main part of my, while I was preaching, I went to let out a big yell. But it wasn't a yell, amen. It was a belch, amen. By the way, it wasn't a little belch, amen. I mean, it wasn't no, it was, it came out, you know. And you know, when it came out, you know, what do you do? Amen. You know, they're standing, they're sitting there looking at me, and I'm looking at them like, you can't pretend it didn't happen. Amen. You can't pretend this didn't happen. Amen. And, well, you know, they didn't know whether to laugh or watch, you know. And, well, my wife sitting there, she, you know how pastors' wives are. They're so supportive, amen, sometimes, amen. And about that time, my wife just busted out laughing. And when she busted out laughing, everybody just took off laughing then, amen. Well, then I looked down at the pastor, an old pastor sitting on the front row there. And he had been preaching a lot longer than I had. And I looked at him, and everybody's laughing at me, you know. And I said, Pastor, you ever had that happen before? He said, no. Amen. Amen. And that made it worse. Amen. But you know, you never know how. I was baptizing one time. I was baptizing my church there. And I went to take this lady down to baptize her. And when I took her down, and I brought her back up, but she didn't come up. She didn't come up. And all I had was a wet wig in my hand. Yeah. Yeah. And, well, she's still down in the water bubbling. Amen. She's down there bubbling. So what I did is I reached down and grabbed her with this hand and pulled her up. She was choking and everything. And so I reached down and grabbed her and pulled her up. Then I tried to put the wet wig back on her. and so that was a sight to behold too. Amen. And but anyway, things happened. I want more. I got something to tell. But I remember one time I was preaching at a nursing home, and I had some of my people there and all that. And I was preaching way behind the podium, and all of a sudden something hit the floor. And it slid right in front of the podium or the pulpit there. And my people, some of my teenagers and all of them started laughing. They just started laughing. They were pointing down there laughing. And, well, I just kept preaching because I always taught, don't let things distract you. Just keep preaching, you know. Well, I kept preaching, and they were getting worse. They were laughing so hard. Finally, I went around and I looked, and some old lady's false teeth had fallen out of her mouth and slid right in front of the podium there. And so so you said, what'd you do? Well, I kept preaching, and I walked down there. I walked around down there, and I picked them up and went over there and plugged them back in. Amen. Amen. And that's what you call plugging and preaching. Amen. But I hope everybody's got their polygrip in tonight. Amen. But some of the craziest things that happen. I tell you, I could just go on and on. But, you know, truth of the matter is, God's got a way of keeping us humble. Amen? God's got a way of keeping us humble there tonight. And I want to be a blessing to you. I know you want me to shut up. Amen? And quit talking. But I'm just getting to know you a little bit and tell you how much I appreciate this church and thank God for you, and I know you have labored and worked, and it's shown around here. It shows around here that everybody does their best for the Lord. But I wanna help you a little bit more tonight in Luke chapter 8 tonight, and pray for me. Go ahead and turn. As you're turning there, I'll say this: I want to encourage you to, if you would, to remember me and pray for me as I travel and preach. God's been so good to me. I went into evangelism, and I didn't know that the Lord was going to call me in evangelism before my wife died. I didn't know the Lord was going to call me before she died, but He did. I thought maybe afterwards God might take me that way, but I went to evangelism before she died. And I preached more local meetings and things, but then after she went home, I just prayed. I said, God, You'll have to open doors. I don't do advertising and all that in the papers and things. I just trust the Lord and pray. But God has opened so many doors for me. This year, in 52 weeks, I'll be preaching in 56 churches and several foreign countries. God has just really opened a lot of doors. I'll be going to Haiti here in about a month. I'll be preaching in Haiti. And last time I preached there, we had over 17,000 people saved. God did a great thing there, and they're expecting even more this time. And we'll be helping get churches started and stuff. So pray for that. Next year I'll be in India, Philippines, Haiti, Africa. I'll be in four different countries preaching. And God has just opened a lot of doors for me. Plus traveling the country and preaching all over the country. And the Lord's been so good. And I don't know about you, but I'm amazed at how God does things. And just a country boy from a little town, 600 people in North Carolina. But we serve a wonderful God. Amen. And I just pray for many, many souls to come to Christ. I want to, let's stand out of respect to the Word of God tonight. And Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Could you give me a little more volume? Is the sound man around? Could you give me some more volume there, bud? Okay, thank you so much. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received Him, for they were all waiting for Him." Now, I want you to keep this logged in your mind, the last part of that verse. The Bible says, "For they were all waiting for Him." Okay? But then in verse 41, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought Him that He would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him, and a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, and came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?'" Now, you'll have to excuse me just a minute, but that sounds a little sarcastic to me. They're talking to God here. Can I have amen? They're talking to God. And it just seemed like they're just being a little smart with Him here. But look in verse 46. "And Jesus said," somebody, He came back immediately. He came back immediately and said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before Him. She declared unto Him before all the people for what cause she had touched Him, and how she was healed immediately. And He said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace.'" Father, thank You so much now for the precious Word of God. And I pray now in the next few moments, Lord, that You would give me something special. And Lord, I'm talking about the power of God. And Lord, I need you tonight. I need you to take full control, Lord, because I can't do this without you. And Lord, I'm a needy man. I need you, Lord. I need you desperately. Now, Lord, I didn't come to hurt these people. I come to help these people. And God, fill me. Fill me with the power of God. Give me a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would turn loose in here tonight. And Lord, that people would say, to God be the glory. Something happened tonight. And God, you do it, Lord. As the old black preacher said, Lord, do it again. And God, I'm asking you to do it again. Thank you for what you're going to do. In your precious, holy, wonderful, magnificent name, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Before my wife died, one morning I got up and I get up early every morning. I wake up early. It's like an alarm clock goes off of me. I worked on a tobacco farm being raised. When I was a boy, we raised a lot of tobacco where I come from. Down there, we smoke it, dip it, chew it, and spit it. Amen. We get up early and take tobacco out of the barns at 4:30 in the morning and unload the barns and then go out in the fields and crop the tobacco. Every morning, so after that, it just seems like alarm clock goes off of me. And there's two reasons I get up that time in the morning. The first reason is I got to go to the bathroom. Amen. The second reason is it's a great time to walk with God. I don't know about you, but I love to walk with my God. It's a great time. Well, this special morning, I got up and spent my time with God and walked with God. And then daybreak had broke, and I went out and did some chores around the yard. I worked around the yard, and I came back in, I guess around 7:30 maybe or somewhere in there, and was going to cook my wife some breakfast that morning. When I got back in, I came in the front door instead of the back door. Normally I come in the back door, but I was working out in the front yard, so I came in the front door. And when I did, my wife was sitting in her favorite chair, and I came from behind her there. She was doing something that was strange, very strange. My wife was, I saw her from behind, but she was on the edge of her seat, and she was literally doing like this. She was doing like this. And leaning forward and kind of reaching up in the air like this and doing like this. And I thought, boy, that's kind of strange. You know, normally I thought she might be hallucinating or something because I had to sometimes, well, her being on morphine and things like that, sometimes I had to carry her back to the doctor and readjust her medicine because she would hallucinate sometimes. So I thought she was hallucinating. I thought, something's weird's going on here. And she was, you know, doing like that and about to fall out of her seat. So I went around the corner. I just wanted to come to the side and glance and see what was going on. When I got around there, I saw tears streaming down my wife's cheek. I saw her old tattered Bible laying in her lap that she had that Bible all the way. My wife went to Hiles Anderson right when they opened up. They started the college or got on the new campus. She went that first year there, and when they moved to the campus there, and so back in the 70s. And so my wife had an old Bible that through the years, all them years, that when God gave her verses, she highlighted those verses. And her Bible was so marked up, and I still have that old Bible, but her old Bible was so marked up. But when she got cancer the last few years, she clinged to those verses. They were precious to her. They were treasure. That's the reason why when God shows you something from the Word of God, you want to mark that verse, amen, because there'll come a day you need that verse. And so I saw that old tattered Bible, and I saw tears streaming, and she was literally leaning on her edge of her chair doing like this. And finally I said, "Honey," I said, "are you okay? What's going on?" And she looked at me, she turned to me, and she said, "Well, I was just reading this scripture that we just read tonight." And she said, "I read about the woman that reached out and touched Jesus, and how she was healed." And she said, "You know, if I could just touch Jesus," she said, "I know that God would heal me." Amen. And she said, "I'm trying to get to Him. I'm trying to reach Him." And she said, "If I could, I would." And she said, and all of a sudden I saw her get more desperate. And she said, she said, "How can I touch Him? How can I touch Jesus?" And she said, "I want to. I need to." She said, I need to be healed. And I need a miracle. I need something to happen, and if I could, I would." And all of a sudden she started getting loud like that, getting desperate. So all of a sudden I went over there and just put my arm. I had to be careful because her bones were so brittle. And I put my arms around her and I said, "Honey, it's okay. It's okay, honey. God understand. God knows." And I'll be honest with you, they never taught me in Bible college how to answer that question. And I didn't know at the time what to tell my wife, and because she was desperate to touch Him. And we're reading a story here. By the way, we're reading a story here where there was some people that were waiting on Jesus. Can I tell you something? Can I say this right now? That we've got our churches full of people that are waiting for a miracle. You're waiting for revival. You're waiting for God to do something. God doesn't want any more waiters. God wants some people that are going to get to Him. Amen? And it's going to touch Him and get God's attention to bring a miracle, to bring revival, to get God. You know what? You know what's going to get, you know what's going to bring revival to this church tonight? You know what's going to bring revival to America tonight? It's some Christians that are not waiting on it, but are going to get to God and touch Him and get His attention tonight. I don't know about you tonight, but I want to be a Christian that get God's attention tonight. I want to be a Christian that makes a difference tonight. I want to be a Christian that's going to get God's attention. I don't want to be an average Christian tonight. I don't want to be a Christian going to wait on revival. I want to be a Christian that's going to reach up and touch Him and get His attention tonight and bring revival. I believe tonight that we see a lady. And my wife, I saw the desperation in her eyes that day, how she was desperate. She was desperate. God help us to have some Christians again that are desperate, amen, to get God's attention tonight. As I saw the desperation in my wife's eyes, I finally couldn't take it no more. I went to my bedroom. I closed the door. I got on my face on the floor and I began to weep. And I said, "God, how can my wife get Your attention tonight?" And then all of a sudden, through the Holy Spirit of God, God said, "How about you? How about you? Are you that desperate tonight to get God's attention? Are you?" I want to ask you tonight, how many of you would like to get God's attention tonight? Amen. Well, don't you think we need God's attention tonight? I think tonight we need revival. I think tonight we need old-fashioned. Hey, buddy, I came from the 70s when there was fundamentals was striving and soul winning was striving and churches were on fire, amen, and preaching was hot. And God knows we need it again, amen. We need it again. We need a breath of the Holy Spirit of God to move tonight. And God, but we need a miracle tonight. We need a miracle. As I laid on that floor, I began to weep. And I said, "God, help me to be that desperate tonight." And I said, and I began to pray. My prayer began to change. And I said, "Lord, how can I get Your attention tonight? How, show me, God, how I can get Your attention." And through the illumination of the Holy Spirit of God, Now, let me say, I did not say revelation. Amen. The revelation is already here. Amen. But God help us to illuminate, to open our eyes clear to what the Bible says tonight. And I as I begin to pray, God give me four things. And I immediately reached up on my dresser and grabbed the envelope. And I jotted four thoughts on that piece of paper that the Holy Spirit of God put in my mind that day. And I wrote these four things here. By the way, I've written sermons on all kinds of pieces of paper. Amen. I place mats. Boy, when God gives me a thought, I grab a placemat. Toilet paper. I've written it on toilet tissue. I really have. I've gotten toilet tissue and written notes on a piece of toilet tissue. I'm telling you what, it's called Holy Roller Scrolls. Amen. But I've written all kinds of sermons. But can I say tonight, I want to give you these four things that God gave me, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Don't you think, look at me tonight, don't you think you need to get God's attention tonight? Don't you want to get God's attention tonight? Don't you? Hey, Faith Baptist Church, don't you want to get God's attention tonight? Amen. Wouldn't it be great to get God? I'm talking about the God that speaks to the universe and they stand at attention. I read, by the way, you read in Isaiah 68, 69, you see where God spoke to the earth and the universe and they stood at attention to Him. I tell you what, that's the same God that knows the name of every star. That's the same God that I want to get that God's attention tonight. Amen. That's going to bring revival tonight and do something in my heart and your heart tonight. Let me say, these are four things that God gave me that day. They're very simple things. Dr. Hudson, you say, when you preach, put the cookies on the lower shelf so they can reach it. Amen. And I'd like to say tonight four things that God gave me that day. First of all, very simple, very elementary, but very least practice. First of all, let me say, if you want to get God's attention tonight and you want to get the God of this universe and God that saved you attention tonight, then you've got to come to Him in faith. In faith. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to do a little teaching minute. I want you to listen. You said, preacher, I know that. I know that for by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. Everybody know that? We are saved by faith. That is the only way that you can get to heaven tonight. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's the only way. Can I say that it's not by our works, it's not by deeds. We know that. We know that. But can I say that it takes only faith to be saved, but it also takes faith to be a great Christian? Can I have amen? What, we tend to use faith to get saved, but then we throw it out the door in our Christian life. God wants us to live by faith. My Bible says, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible says in James, faith without works is dead. Can I have amen? Is dead. You know why our churches are dead today? No faith. No faith. No faith. Look, the Bible says faith without works is dead. That is not talking to Christians. I've had people tell me, look, see there, you got to be saved by good works. Because the Bible says faith without works is dead. That book was not written to lost people. That book was written to save people. Can I have amen? Now, faith without works is dead. What does the word dead mean? It means useless. That's what it means. It means useless. Let me give you an example tonight. Let's say tonight that Brother Caleb here, after the service is over, Brother Caleb said, Brother Brian, we did something for you while the pastor's gone. Shame on you. And we did something for you. We took an offering up, a big offering up for you. And what we did, and now we want you to come outside in the parking lot. We bought a gift for you. And by the way, I think that's a wonderful idea. Amen. And we bought a gift for you. So we go out in the parking lot, and when I walk out there, the whole church goes out there. I cannot believe what I see. There is a 2012 brand new Cadillac sitting there. I mean, that thing is beautiful. That thing, buddy, has got wheels like you have never seen on that thing. It's shiny. It's got a big bow. Y'all put a big bow on top of it. And you come in there, and Brother Caleb says, Brother Brian, we know you travel a lot of miles, and I do travel a lot of miles. I drive everywhere I go because I believe the Bible says, Lord said, lo, I'm with you always. Amen. And that's why I don't fly. Amen. But we look at that car, and then I get in that car, and boy, that thing's got nice leather seats, and that thing, I sit in there, it's like it's got arms on it, amen, just wraps around. That thing's got more gadgets on it than you've ever seen in your life, but it takes me a year to figure that thing out. And all of a sudden, Brother Caleb says, here, and he pulls out the keys. Brother Brian, this is yours. Brand new 2012 Cadillac. It's all yours. And by the way, I think that's a wonderful idea. Amen. And so anyway, the preacher won't when he gets back. Amen. And so I get in there. I stick the keys in that ignition. And I'm so excited. And I turn the keys in the ignition. And all of a sudden, nothing happens. It's dead. It's dead. Now, let me just say this right now. I don't care how pretty that car is. I don't care how nice that car is. If it doesn't run, it ain't worth a flip. Amen. Excuse my English. Amen. We don't have English. Amen. But it's not worth a flip. Can I have amen? If it doesn't get me to where I need to go, it's not any good. Can I have amen? Can I say this? The car is useless. I don't care how nice it looks. Can I say there's a lot of Christians sitting in churches today that look nice? Can I say there's a lot of Christians sitting in church that you have all the fundamental ways, you have the standards in which you should. Can I have amen? You should have those. But can I say that unless you are producing, you're not worth a flip tonight. Amen. We are not saved to sit. We are saved to serve. Amen. And God, and you get God's attention when you put your faith in action. You put your faith in action. Can I have a, see, action always comes with faith. Study the Bible. How many of you remember Abraham and Isaac? God told Abraham to take his son to the top of that mount and to kill his son as a sacrifice on the altar. And Abraham could have sat back and said, God, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. You know I believe you. You know I have faith in you. You know I believe this. But yet, but God says, no, Abraham, he told him to do it. And he expected Abraham to what? Obey him. And in faith, Abraham obeyed God, and he took his son up to the top of that mountain and bound his son and tied him up, put him on the altar, raised that knife up to pierce his heart, to pierce his own son that was carrying the seed on, passing the seed on. How many of you are with me? Amen. And because he put some action with his faith, when Abraham went to kill his son, they said, whoa, Abraham. By the way, that's in the Hebrew if you read it. Can I have amen? That's in the Hebrew. But they said, Abraham, we know that thou believest God now. Can I have amen? He put action with his faith. He put action with his faith. Anytime faith is in the Bible, you see action along with it. How about Jericho? How about Joshua and Jericho when he told them to march around Jericho 7 days? You know, Abraham could have sat back and said, well, God, you know I'm a Christian. You know I don't have to do this. You know that I know you can do it, God. And God said, no, I want you to march around Jericho, put some action with your faith. David and the giant. Can I have amen? Put action with your faith. How about Daniel in the Bible? Put some action with your faith. How about Jericho? How about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? Can I have amen? Put some action. They put some action with their faith anytime. Now, let me give you an example. Let me say this. How about tonight? What if God... how many of you believe in soul winning tonight? How many of you believe in it? Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you are doing it? See, you can believe in something, but God wants to see action with it. Can I have amen? God wants to see action with your soul winning. You say, I believe in it. I'm a fundamentalist. I believe in soul winning. Okay. Where are you soul winning tonight? Where are you? God knows I believe in it. God, how about tithing? Can I have amen? Boy, it got quiet in here. Can I have amen? Maybe I better come down here. Hey, how about tithing? You believe in tithing? Everybody believe in tithing? Okay. If you believe in it, are you doing it? See, God wants action with your faith. Can I have amen? God wants, everybody believe you want to go to church? Amen. See, you put action with your faith. And that gets God's attention. That gets God's attention. Hey, how about years ago, God told me, I was in North Carolina. And the Lord told me it's very clear that I should go start a church in Athens, Georgia. I was broke as Job's turkey. I was poor as Job's turkey. I had about $200 in my pocket. I had four kids, my wife and four kids. I had an old station wagon that sounded like a logging truck. I'm not kidding. That thing, buddy, you could hear it coming down. Bah, 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 bah. You could hear that station wagon coming down the road. I remember we had to tie the muffler up sometimes with a clothes hanger, like some of you did when you came to church tonight. Amen. But I got a U-Haul trailer, and I got that old station wagon, my wife and four kids and $200. And I'll never forget, we packed everything we could to stay. I had a couch sticking out the back of my station wagon. I had a couch. We looked like the Beverly Hillbillies coming down the road. And I'll never forget, I had that station, we had furniture, everything, the car and the U-Haul, everything. And all you could see is my kids' eyeballs. I mean, that's all you see. They were piled in there. And when I got left, I had $200. When I pulled in that night to Athens, Georgia, I had $75 in my pocket. On the way, my wife said this, said, honey, I got to ask you a question. I said, okay. She said, where are we going to live? Now, let me tell you, ladies, something. When men don't know how to give you an answer about something like that, they have no idea. This is the way I answer my wife. I said, honey, just hush and trust God. Amen. Because I had no idea what God was going to do. But I know as soon as I said that, I looked up and said, God, where are we going to live? Where are we going to live? I remember when I pulled into Athens, Georgia that night, we crossed the city limits sign, came by the city limits. Right inside the city limits, there was a trailer park, mobile home park, on the right. And right in the middle of that mobile home park was a two-story nice home right in the middle. And I told my wife, I said, that's probably the owner. And I pulled in there. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to see if she'll let us live in a mobile home. She said, you don't have but $75. How in the world? And so we pulled in there, and I went up to the door. It was 11:30 Friday night. I knocked on the door. I'll never forget this little lady. She was a little short, stubby lady, and she looked like a bulldog. I'm not kidding. She looked like a bulldog, Georgia bulldog. She even had flappy jaws, real flappy jaws. She had short hair. Real short hair like a man. Her skin was like shoe leather. She was tough, like almost like a man. And she had these short shorts on. Boy, that was a sight to behold, too. But she had these short shorts on. And I'll never forget, that little bulldog lady came there, and her name is Miss Joanne Reynolds. Boy, I hope she don't get this CD. But anyway, her name was Miss Joanne Reynolds. And I introduced myself, and I told her, I told her why I was coming. I told her God told me to come start a church, told her the whole story and everything. When I got done, I'll never forget Miss Joanne. She looked at me, and all of a sudden she walked to the edge of the porch, and she wobbled. Her knees were bad or something, and she kind of wobbled. And that little bulldog-looking lady walked over to the edge of the porch, and she looked out at the car. And you can see my kids out there. Well, my kids waved at her. And she waved at them. My wife waved at her. She waved back at my wife. That little lady walked back over to me, wobbled over to me. She looked at me, and I'll never forget, Miss Joanne looked at me and just kind of hung her head. She wobbled back over the edge of that porch. She looked out there, and the kids waved at her again. She wobbled back over to me. That night, she looked at me again and just shook her head. She wobbled back over to the edge of that porch. Three times, Miss Joanne went to the edge of that porch and looked out there. The third time she came back, she had tears in her eyes. And she looked at me and said, "Preacher, I want to tell you something." She said, "My mom and dad was missionaries all their life." She said they were on the foreign field all their life and served on the foreign field. And she said when they got sick and they didn't have Social Security or nothing, and I brought them back to America, and I built this place on top of my place right here. There's 4 bedrooms, 2 full bathrooms, a big living room, big kitchen, everything in there. And she said, "I built that for my mom and dad, and I took care of them till the day they died." And she said, "When they died, I promised God that I would not let anybody rent that place, and I would keep it open until God sent me somebody to live there that's serving God." And she said, "God sent you here tonight, and Miss Joanne didn't charge me one dime for 6 months to live in that place." And she said, God told me, that night, that little bulldog, Georgia Bulldog lady, buddy, she helped us unload the couch. She was tough. She was tough. And she had one end of that couch. I had the other end, and we were lugging it into the place. And we carried our stuff. She told my kids, "Go to the refrigerator, get anything you want out of that refrigerator." That was a mistake, amen? And they cleaned it out. And then, after we got done, she said, "Come out here just a minute." I walked out there and she said, "Look," and we walked across the driveway there. She said, "Look at those trucks. There are 15 tandem trucks sitting there." And I looked and it said, "Reynolds Trucking." She said, "I own that trucking company." She said, "You ever driven one of them trucks before?" I said, "No, ma'am, but I've driven a concrete truck." I said, "I drove a concrete truck 4 years, 3 or 4 years. And she said, "You got your CDLs?" I said, "Yes, I do." She said, "You start work Monday." That night, that very night, you know what? I had a place to live. I had food in my refrigerator, and I had a job that very night. Let me tell you something. Now, you know what I believe happened? That God saw me put some action to my faith. And I'll tell you what God did. He got up off the throne, and he looked down over heaven, and he said, "Look at that old boy right there. He's going down the highway, and that station wagon's about to blow up, but he believes God. He believes God. He believes God. And he's putting some action to his faith, and I'm going to bless him. I'm going to bless him." Amen. I'll tell you what, you want to get God's attention tonight, you put some action to your faith tonight. Put some action to your faith tonight. You believe in soul winning? Put some action to it tonight. You believe in tithing? Put some action in it tonight. You believe in going to church? Then put some action in it tonight. You believe in being a good Christian, studying the Word of God, and walking with God? Put some action to it tonight. And I'll tell you what you're going to do, you're going to get God's attention. I believe then second of all, that if you want to get God's attention tonight, how many of you want to get God's attention tonight? How many of you believe we need revival tonight? How many of you believe you need revival tonight?